Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the Matrix. Shit. Let's go, hook him up.
Says
I just whipped your ass.
It's time
to take it all away.
Oh,
I'm gonna drag you until I wear your Texas ass out every day. The game is ours to play.
And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Over the Top Radio. I'm your host Ed in San Antonio, and I'm joined by my co-host Craig. What's going on, Craig?
Greetings and salutations, Edward. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. And we have our other co-host on the line, Katura. What's going on, Katura?
Are you sure you want to know?
Actually, now I really want to know.
You want to know the day that I've had?
Sure. Why don't you tell us?
Okay. Here's the day I had. Part-time working this hospital up here in Dallas. I do some orderly stuff, and take patients back and forth to the rooms and work in the laboratory and take lab reports to on a different floor to put to a patient's charts and stuff like that. So I go up to this, they got this one floor, and on one end of the floor is the geriatric unit, and the other end of the floor is the psychiatric unit. But this is already going to be a good story. Okay? So, in both these doors, that you got to have like a number, a code to get into the unit. So I go up there, and I'm got to take stuff to the psych ward, go in there and talk to some people in there, and just hanging out and finish that. Go to the geriatric ward, which is always fun. I'm in there doing some stuff, and as always happens, when while one of these poor people, they wander to the door because they want help. They just stand by the door. So I look down the hall as I'm getting ready to leave. I see somebody kind of messing with the door down there. I said, "Oh fuck, it's gonna be." Going to be one of those days. So I go back down. I waste as much time as I can to see if she wanders off, but she don't wander off. So I said, okay, I gotta go and bypass this woman and try to get out of this place. So go do that, and she's trying to get me to take her with me, and just kind of pushing on me, and so I kind of just shoved her out of the way, let's say, just to kind of be nice, which is okay, because nobody ever believes the old people when they say anything bad about you anyway, because they're all about dementia and stuff like that, so that's easy to do. So then I get in the elevator. And one of the nurses in there, and I'm talking to her, and all of a sudden, this wild-eyed-looking person gets on the elevator with us. He's got a bathrobe on, and he looks like Doc Brown from fucking Back to the Future. He's got slippers on, got no shirt, just boxers and a bathrobe. And so then the orderly comes, and I stand there at the door, and he says, "The guy just got out of the psych ward." I said, "Okay." And I said, "Okay," but in my mind I'm saying, thank you for telling me this after I'm fixing to be stuck in an elevator with this person for about 3 floors right in front of him. So to do that, so I do what any did the natural thing that anybody would do when something like that happened. I just found me a spot on a wall and just stared at it for 3 floors and didn't make any sudden movements. It's, you know, you never know what somebody's going to do. So then they get down to the floor and he darts out the elevator at the next floor, and I guess not realizing that we're not going to the bottom floor, so he's stuck on another floor by himself doing God knows what. I go back to the bottom floor, and somebody, one of the security guards, said, "Where's he at?" He's up on like the second floor or something. You'll recognize him. You won't be able to miss him. And as I heard, that he was out on the interstate somewhere, so that's how my day went.
Wow, that's the best you've had to say to open a show in the history of the show.
I feel like it was an episode of Seinfeld or something.
Mm-hmm.
I expected the next room I was going to go into, I was going to see the pig man or something.
That would have been a trip. But
I'm glad I parked my car like in one of the back parking lots. So I figured it'd be like that episode where the guy tried to commit suicide, stole George's car or something. That was just going to be my look for the day. So,
so how often do you have to deal with crazy and old people?
Do what now?
How often do you have to deal with these crazy people?
Maybe a few times a week. It happens. It's entertaining. I don't mind it. I don't need to be stuck on the elevator with these people. So.
Yeah, well, I think I would prefer not to have that job.
That's fun.
If you say so.
But, I figured like people would drink Kremen or something like that. And with the Looney
Tunes. Craig, what have you been up to since we've been gone?
Oh, geez. Well, tomorrow's my dad's memorial, so I've been very busy with that. Work has been ridiculous, and just getting by, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, at least you don't have crazy people attacking you in an elevator, so.
It's true. It is very true.
Yeah.
I got to deal with crazy people tomorrow because my niece and my two nephews are in town, and I'm taking them to the Legoland, so.
Now, is everything, like, already built on Legoland, or do you, like, is the place that you go there and you...
I never even heard of a Legoland until this week, so I don't know what the deal is.
I'm sure you've been to a Legoland. What's it like?
I have not been to a Legoland.
Oh.
All I know is I'm probably going to have Legos strewn all over the house when I get back from this place tomorrow, so you got to prepare for that. And all I know is that you go there and you watch movies or something, and, like, it's like some kind of interactive experience, like when it's raining in the movie, it, like, starts drizzling in the movie theater. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Hopefully nobody takes a piss.
I don't know if I would enjoy being fucking rained on in the movie theater, but you know what pisses me off about Legos? Is nowadays, like, you can go and you can buy a whole fucking Death Star put together, and back when we were kids, you just fucking got the little thing of fucking Legos, and all you could do is make, like, a fucking square or something, you know?
Like a box, like a house.
Dude, now they got all the, like, the Star Wars and fucking everything, dude, and, you know, we didn't have that shit. It fucking pisses me off.
They want my two nephews, they want Guardians of the Galaxy Legos, so probably gonna get a bunch of Legos.
Oh, I can't wait for
like
that to come out here pretty soon.
That movie looks stupid.
Yeah, but it looks like it'll be fun. But
I never heard of before there was a movie. So.
That's the original Guardians of the Galaxy. They like it's one of those where they reset it, and it's the characters from the reset. So it's not even the original ones, but I think it'll be right. Batista looks pretty tripped out in it.
My nephew was so excited when I told him that when he figured out that Drax was also a wrestler, because we've been watching wrestling here lately. So.
Well, I
watched Scooby-Doo WrestleMania yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen it. It's pretty good.
You know, I have a quick story. I know Craig's like fucking getting pissed because we're fucking so off track, but I have a story about the Scooby-Doo mm-hmm. movie. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
When I went to go get my beard and hair done, the lady who does it, about a week before, she was messaging me on Facebook asking me about what I knew about this upcoming WWE house show, like, does she need to get tickets early, how's, like, it work, this and that, and she's all saying because her daughter has to go see John Cena. And so I kind of just told her how it worked and shit. So then when I went and got my beard and my hair done, we started talking about that. And I was like, how long has she been a fan? And she's like, oh, she's just been a fan for, like, a couple months. I was like, really? She's like a big Scooby-Doo fan, and she watched the Scooby-Doo movie, and now she's in love with John Cena, and then she goes, Sin Cara. and she's like, and watches, like, WWE every Monday now, and is, like, the biggest WWE fan because she watched the fucking Scooby-Doo movie and saw John Cena and Sin Cara on the fucking Scooby-Doo movie. Kind of a trip, but anyway, I guess we can go ahead and
I'm still mesmerized by the fact you go somewhere to get your beard done.
Well, did you see the fucking picture? That thing was like there's no way I could have done it by myself. I had to have enlist the help of a professional.
I tend to not look at pictures of people from the board. Thank you.
It was funny, though, because before she cut it off, though, she, like, just stuck her hands in it and just basically started molesting my beard for a minute. It was kind of making me feel uncomfortable. But
okay, I just never heard somebody going somewhere to get their beard done. Just
well, I was
getting
my hair. Might as well have it taken off, you know? Why I got to do all the hard work?
You have
anyway,
your beard taken off? You can just shave it yourself? Well, yeah, I guess if you're there, you might as well let them do it, so.
Yeah, plus I was getting it done into a goatee, and that's not like the easiest thing to do when you're doing it to yourself. So,
I figured something out with watching wrestling with children lately, because this is the first time me and my nephew's been watching it a lot too. They like John Cena. They hate those fucking talking segments. They want to see somebody fight. They don't want to watch this. They don't want to watch these 20-minute fucking promos and shit.
Mm-hmm.
They want to see people wrestle because. They sit there and watch some promos and they fall asleep or either they go play with something else. They don't have a long attention span.
Well, you should find them a download to the G1 things that are coming up from New Japan. That's
yes, I'm
going to
watch G1
right
with my nephews.
They might like it. They got AJ.
Okay, well, I don't think we'll be watching that one.
All right, well, I guess we'll go ahead because there is a pay-per-view, even though I don't know if they're supposed to even call it pay-per-view anymore, but there's a fucking Battleground fucking coming
mm-hmm.
up Sunday, and I'll get to watch it because I'm still on vacation. I'm 3 weeks down with 2 weeks to go before I have to go back to work, so I'll be able to watch this pay-per-view. And honestly, I don't even know what the fuck's on it, so I'm going to have to look at this fucking email you sent
me
here.
I sent you both handouts in your emails.
Yeah,
this
I know. I'm looking at it right now. I hadn't opened it till right now. But since Craig's been kind of quiet, we'll let Craig run down the card, which doesn't even look like a big card to me.
Yeah, it's not much of a card, really. I mean, there's some good matches on the show, but I am not particularly looking forward to it. I'll say that. I'm not clamoring to see it. So I'm going to go from the bottom down. These will probably be out of order. But first match that we're going to discuss, Chris Jericho versus Bray Wyatt.
Move forward to that. They've never wrestled before, so that should be good. Both guys are good.
Yeah, it could be. It'll probably be either the best or the second best match of the night.
Yeah.
But yeah, everything they've been doing is good. I love that for that first night with Jericho, or like the promo that Jericho was cutting. I know Brian was kind of pitching about it, but That was a fucking awesome promo he was cutting until he got, like, interrupted. I mean, they're both good workers, so it's going to be a good match. And, you know, basically Jericho is just a higher profile version of Rob Van Dam at this point, so I'm pretty sure he's going to put Bryant over.
I don't think that's fair.
What?
A version of Rob Van Dam, Jericho? Really?
Well, just
a higher version of Rob Van Dam.
They're kind of the same in that they both come and go so much, and mostly just put people over when they're there. I mean, really,
when was the last time Jericho even, like, really won a match? I mean, he was putting Fandango over. You remember way back he was putting Evan Bourne over. You know, I mean, he very rarely wins a match. He's just, you know, he's better than Rob Van Dam. He's higher than Rob Van Dam, but basically it's the same position. It's the veteran
nobody's
up there
higher than
the young guy over.
Higher than Rob Van Dam. Let's get that straight.
Well, I'm a little higher than Rob Van Dam right now.
Well, maybe you are, but I can see Jericho winning. Maybe they do another match next month at SummerSlam, so I can see that happening.
Okay. We also have Russo. Excuse me. I totally screwed that up. Rusev. Because that would be a completely different match.
Rusev's back? I thought he couldn't wrestle anymore after Goldberg gave him concussion.
It'd be the only good match he would book himself in. Rusev versus Jack Swagger.
I'm on board with this. The build has been pretty good for this one, so.
This has been the best thing on the show the past couple of weeks, as far as, like, it's like
absolutely
watching just good old-fashioned wrestling, you know? And Lana is just so fucking awesome. She's the best fucking woman out there. And when we were in Vegas at lunch, we had this conversation where it's like it was me and maybe one other person against about three or four other people saying that if they get rid of Rusev, then Lana's done. Because what's the point of having some Russian chick? It's like, what do you mean she's done? She doesn't have to be fucking Russian anymore. She can, like, just be English,
yeah,
like fucking Nikolai, and just she's fine. She's going to be around because she's just fucking awesome, and she's so goddamn hot. I was pissed off about that goddamn podium being in front of her for the majority of that fucking segment, but fuck that fucking, both the things they've done with the two of them have been fucking awesome, and probably not even going to be much of a match. I just go like 3 or 4 minutes. Hopefully more than the 10 seconds they've been doing at the house shows, but they could actually get some legs out of this if they really wanted to. It's just that that might not be what the plan was, and, you know, they don't really like to change the plan, and so we'll see what happens. But, yeah, it's been the best fucking thing by far.
Yeah, I think this has been, like, the best thing for Jack Swagger in months. I'm glad that he's I think the guy's a great wrestler, and the roles that he's been given have been less than favorable to him. So it was good to see him break away from Cesaro, and now he needs to do something, and this is the something. Now I hope WWE gets behind that and actually pushes the angle.
And I like Zeb being like kind of like a babyface manager because he's such an awesome talker.
Yeah, he's good,
yeah,
either way. He can be the heel or he can be the babyface. You know, he's so good at it. So, I mean, and then Lana, just like I say, I mean, as long as Lana's there, that's just going to make the fucking program 5 stars no matter what.
I still keep expecting Vladimir Putin to do a run in one of these matches. I got a question.
Okay, how fucking hard do they push all this Russian shit now with the fucking, supposedly Russians blew up the fucking airplane? Well, it was actually the Ukrainians, but you know they're going to say it's the Russians.
This is the first I've heard of this.
This is, it wasn't the Russians. It was like Russian extremists who
it was in the Ukraine. Ukraine is, you know, the Ukraine, everyone associates Russia and Ukraine together because they once war, but they're totally different countries, and there's so much shit going on over there right now. So some fucking extremist or whatever blew up one of those Malaysian airplanes, and I wonder, that makes me wonder if that's what happened to the first one.
It was so much better back in the day when we just fought over nuclear weapons. Back in the Cold War and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, when it was more of a threat than them actually doing something. I mean, it's kind of getting ugly right now.
It's a threat of nuclear weapons and everybody's blowing their planes up.
But yeah, I mean, I wonder if, because you remember what happened with, it was more extreme with Muhammad Hassan. What was his name?
Muhammad Hassan.
Was that Muhammad Hassan? Yeah, that shit happened over there, and they kind of did the thing, and that pretty much killed him. I mean, do they pull back on showing Putin's face, or they keep going the way they are? You know, I mean, I don't have a problem with it. I mean, I laugh my ass off every time they fucking put Putin on the screen. So, I mean, I don't care, but, you know, you never know how PC it is. Some people might get a little uptight about it and complain.
Yeah, I'm also the type of person. I wouldn't ever bother with the whole Persian Gulf thing, you know, back in the early 90s. So
anyway, about this match, what do you guys think?
I'd go with Rusev. I don't think it's time to beat him. I figure he's going to get beat by John Cena or something later on anyway. You know? So, I would just... Match should be... He's been in some good matches lately. I thought his match with Big E, like at the last pay-per-view, was pretty damn good. And so, I like him.
Yeah, I hope they keep it short and hard hitting. It'll be pretty good. I think they could get some life out of it, so I wouldn't mind seeing maybe Rusev win the majority of the match, but then Swagger get the ankle lock and then have Lana, you know, jump in and get the DQ, and then they could do one more match on the next pay-per-view and then have Rusev beat him. I don't know if they'll do that. Like I say, you know, I don't know if they're going to change plans because, like I say, it's hard to see them do that when they've been doing 10-second matches fucking for the last couple weeks. But, you know, I mean... I'm all for this program lasting a little longer. I mean, it's like I say, it's the best thing on.
I still say they should have rehired Taz and made Rusev the son of Taz.
Looks just like him, doesn't it?
It looks just like him.
Like
just
who?
Like him.
He kind of got the same style, you know, like just a different style of wrestling, so.
I missed who you said he looked like.
Taz.
Oh, Taz.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe, kind of.
Looks like a younger, thicker, and taller version of Taz.
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay, so we have Cameron and Naomi.
Is this the pre-show match or is this on the actual pay-per-view?
It's on the actual show. I don't think they announced a pre-show match. I don't even know they're doing a pre-show anymore.
Well, they are. It's just on the network, so you can't watch it. But
I have the network.
Okay, as much as I'll defend the women, I can't see this being very good. I think it'll be entertaining. I don't think the match will be any good.
Which is a good one? Naomi's the one that's a good worker?
Yeah, Naomi's the darker one, dude. Come on, you should know that. The darker one's the better worker. She's the one with the bigger ass. She uses the ass attack. And Cameron's got the fucking long-ass blonde weave in now. And looks like she's trying to make herself look a little whiter. She's funny. I mean, basically, it's going to be it's only going to last a call. I don't see it going more than 2 or 3 minutes at the most. And, you know, so it's probably just all for fucking Total Divas, too. So.
Cameron is a good heel, I'll say that. He's a pretty good heel. She's easily disliked.
Yeah, I mean, she'd be better as, like, the valet out doing it outside of the ring than, you know, in the match. But, yeah, I see your point. She is pretty fucking...
Naomi should have to be working with Paige and AJ Lee. So, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of a toss-up, if you ask me. AJ is pretty darn good, and I think Naomi's well on her way, don't get me wrong. But Okay, so the one I'm looking forward to most, just because I think it's going to be the most physical, Seth Rollins versus Dean Ambrose.
Yeah.
This will probably be the best match of the night. I mean, or not the real cool second. I mean, Ambrose is just fucking awesome, you know, and Seth's fucking, you know, badass. So I can't see them having anything but a badass, an awesome match.
Mm-hmm. He's gotten over way better than I thought he would when they broke up.
Yeah.
Ambrose has.
Which one? Oh, the thing was, and like, Brian, like, bitches about him getting beat up and, you know, the whole time and keep losing. The thing is, if he keeps getting his ass kicked, but gets his ass kicked in a massive fucking way every time, it'll get him over just because he comes back for more. You know what I mean?
Right.
To me, the losses don't look so bad because he's like this crazy person. I mean, he don't wear any gear. He wears his blue jeans and his T-shirt. He's out there, just like a madman. It doesn't even seem like he's really, you know, like, I don't want to say not a serious wrestler, but kind of like not a serious wrestler, you know, because he's just such a madman that when he loses, and it's not that big. It doesn't seem like that big of a deal to me, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
He also doesn't. Another thing that's going to help him is he does not cater to the fans at all. He is not a fan favorite. He's just being cheered right now because of who he's fighting. And fans don't like it when you fucking kind of push people down. Oh, you're supposed to like this dude, you know. So I can see people getting behind him. I don't think it's going to hurt. Like, him losing is going to hurt him as much as, like, people are going to make it out to be. Like you know, Daniel was bulletproof, you know. Everyone says, oh, well, this and that. Was, well, you know what, this and that. But in the end, it still worked. You know what I mean? So, you know, I'm not too worried about him. Like, he's just so damn good. I mean, every little fucking thing he does as far as his just tiny little movements in the ring are just so fucking perfect. I mean, he's like watching like a Nick Bockwinkel going his prime as far as just all the little things he does. You know what I mean? He's awesome, and Seth is just so fucking spectacular in the shit he can do. And unlike a lot of the high flyers, he's got fucking height and size, you know what I mean? He's not the skinny little Tyler Black he was early on in ROH anymore. So, I mean, you know, he's big enough to be in the WWE and still be spectacular, so.
I absolutely loved the part where on Monday when they were beating him up and his comeback is that all you got? It was just absolutely tremendous. He's the man.
I could say, since Seth Rollins has the briefcase, I can easily see Ambrose winning this match. Because they always beat the Money in the Bank winners for some reason, don't they?
I remember when Daniel had it, they fucking beat the shit out of him.
Whenever they won that briefcase, they've lost a lot, like, afterwards. So I can see Ambrose easily winning this match.
Yeah, and if they're going to continue it, it's best for Ambrose to win this one, and then the next one, you know, then Rollins can win, you know, with the help of Triple H or something. And,
I'd do, like, Ambrose and Rollins at this pay-per-view, and then, I don't know, maybe do, like a big match next month at SummerSlam, maybe do a match for the briefcase or something, like a ladder match, just with those two guys.
Yeah.
I can see that happening.
Yeah, that would actually work.
I like how they wrote it down and they got out of it, because on Monday they had, like, Beth had, I guess they worked some kind of ankle injury so they could have all four guys in the main event out there. But also it worked because it gave me an excuse. Why wouldn't he try to cash in now? Because Ambrose is in the hospital. So, it's just one of those little things.
Next up, we have a battle royal to crown a new WWE Intercontinental Champion. I'm not going to run down the names, but...
Bo Dallas will win the match. But they don't
vote. Better win, guys. If Bo don't win, I'm rioting.
He's so awesome. He's the perfect person to put that Intercontinental title on right now and have a good run doing a, you know, just just doing a, they got him doing like a little streak. And I was like, just put the belt on him and give him a run with the belt. I think it'd be phenomenal.
Yeah, I think he'd be great. He's been so fucking awesome. It's like, all I heard for, like, before I watched NXT was just how bad Bo Dallas was supposed to be, and then he's been awesome. And then I love that thing where he, like, wore the mask and came back to NXT as Mr. NXT, and then they did the Benny Hill chase, basically, to throw him out. And I think he's awesome. I mean, he's just so, he's not, you know, don't get me wrong, he's not a fucking serious main eventer, but, you know, you got the, I think they got, like, the new Santino, that's the guy who's just perfect for his fucking role, you know, and be entertaining, and he's fucking entertaining the shit out of me.
And that's just like whenever he comes out and there's music plays, you can just, it's just like you can hear JBL's voice getting emotional because he's so inspired by Bo Dallas. I think it's awesome. So basically my prediction on this match is that Bo Dallas should bow over in this match.
Mm.
I just like that one. Stupid, huh? Yeah, I know. Should have said it.
It's not as good as my one where he got hit in the ding ding. Got hit in the boneheads.
Hey, you got dirty money, too.
And I would give it to him just because I was laughing at himself when he ran over Torito when he was doing his victory lap.
Yeah.
See, that's how you get a guy over, putting him in a match with a midget.
Right. But I think he's getting...
I'd see either him winning, I could kind of see, like, maybe Cesaro winning also. It's kind of like a dark horse.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're doing with him right now.
That's my pick. They've been beating him so much, it just makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but do you really want him to have this championship because Sheamus isn't even fucking winning. He's a U.S. champion.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see Cesaro, you know, just because he's losing now and he wins, he's going to start winning. I don't see it. I mean,
you want him to lose more?
I want him to win, so I don't want him to win this title.
No, I mean, do you want to put him on the title? You must want him to lose more matches. Put the title on him and do that.
Yeah.
I feel like I see Sheamus winning, too, being the U.S. champion, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's kind of weird he's in this match in the first place. Next thing.
Right.
Kind of weird he's losing to the freaking Miz.
That's fine. Miz is okay. I don't know why people hate on Miz so much. He's okay.
You know, Bo Dallas.
Well, only one person is. And we all look up to him.
Okay. Next up, we have the WWE Divas Champion, AJ Lee. She'll be wrestling Paige.
The frenemy.
I don't remember last there was two Divas matches on one show.
Wasn't it like three on the last one or something?
I don't think so. I figured I would remember because that had been like three times I went to the bathroom during the pay-per-view.
So. Man, you just don't have a good taste in wrestling, dude. This will be a 5 stars. They're both awesome. They're both hot.
They are both good.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
The what?
I was going to say, they're both good, and I think this is the best Divas match that you can actually have nowadays.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, they probably are the two best ones. That maybe make it three-way with Natty, or Natty, you know, between Natty is probably as good as the three of them, but it should be a good match. You know, I'm sure when all the losers like a chair aren't going to care about it, so...
But, you know, I'll be watching intently. Goes full heel in this match.
Yeah, she's better as a heel. She was awesome. She was a heel in Shimmer, so.
Yeah, she's doing the kind of the insincere thing, you know, when, like, she was on the commentary Monday night. And so,
Yeah, she's also better on the mic when she's a heel than when she's a babyface. That's for goddamn sure.
Next up, we have the Best of Three Falls, the WWE Tag Team Champions, the Usos. They'll be wrestling the Wyatts again.
I think this may be the best match of the night.
Yeah.
If not, it's going to be the second best match of the night. Yeah, I'm looking forward to this. 2 out of 3 falls for these guys. They always have good matches. Really,
I do complain a lot about them wrestling each other again and again and again. But it's always really good.
It's usually the best show on Raw as far as the match.
Yeah. Yeah, it should be.
I expect the Wyatts to go over. So, I mean, they didn't last month. It might only make sense they do it this month, right?
It's about time to give them a run with the titles.
Yeah.
I mean, fucking Harper's fucking so goddamn awesome, and the other one's gotten pretty good. I mean, well, not really good, but he's holding his own. I think
the looks kind of mask sometimes how great they are in the ring, because they kind of do a couple of slobs. So I think they kind of, some people can kind of hide how good they are because they expect them to be shitty. If they aren't, they're like awesome. So
yeah, it'll be an awesome. I'm pretty sure. I forgot about. I kept saying that the other two either be between Rollins and Ambrose or Jericho Wyatt, but I kind of forgot about this one. I think this one's just as good a chance as the other two is feeling the show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This undercard is actually pretty great. I mean, when you look at the main event, so.
Yeah, now that we've been talking about it, it's like, yeah, this actually looks like a fucking good show, but, you know, it's fucking Battleground, and, you know, most people just Battleground because of what it's,
right.
You know, they care about the big ones.
And, of course, in the main event, we have WWE World Champion John Cena. He'll be wrestling in a four-way against Roman Reigns, Randy Orton, and Kane.
Do we even need to discuss if there's over the match?
I would have Cena win and then just have Brock come out and kill him.
Yeah, because I think he's not even supposed to be on Raw Monday, Cena, because he's doing a movie. I could see Brock coming out afterwards and just, like, killing him. So.
Yeah, that way he's, like, supposedly, like, too hurt to come out on Raw, you know, even if it's just for a week, but still, it's still a week more than they usually do. But, yeah, that's the best thing, and then that sets up them at SummerSlam. You have Brock beat him at SummerSlam, and then I guess you could do maybe Reigns and Brock at Mania, you know, if you want.
I don't know if they put the title on Brock, because with the schedule, you got to have your champion there, right?
They don't really need
to figure
it out. I mean, the champion doesn't really mean anything. I mean, I mean more of a
well,
getting
like,
to get on TV for a
but
while.
But it's like if you put it on Brock and he's the champion, he's gone. What does that do for Seth Rollins? He's got the
yeah, but they haven't really been using him, and now you could put him on like a little bit more. He's still got the shitload of dates they got to work through. They actually have been holding back on as far as them what they did last year. So they can put him on
maybe,
enough
maybe
time.
Go ahead.
And then, well, let's say you go a good 6-7 months with no world title matches on fucking Raw, and then you have it at fucking WrestleMania, it might actually mean something for once because you haven't seen it defended on TV.
Yeah, but what are you
going to
do
with
all these other pay-per-views? You're going to have something on top. You're going to have your champion.
You can't
have that for like 6 months.
They can do it, dude.
Craig, bring me up. Hope they need a champion on their shows.
The champion needs to be...
Everybody out and agree with me for once.
The champion needs to be on TV, but... I think in this case it might work.
I don't know. I just think it's too long to not have a champion, not only not on your TV, but not on like like your upcoming pay-per-views. I mean,
but they could do like they could amazing. Do a bunch yeah. of they could do a bunch of videotape. Like they could go to his house and videotape shit that they could put on for like a few weeks at a time. And plus, you got Heyman to do all the talking anyway. You know what I mean? It could actually. I'm not saying to do it for fucking 3 or 4 years. I'm saying doing
well,
it
no,
between SummerSlam and WrestleMania.
Of course, nobody's saying 3 to 4 fucking years. I'm just saying they
yeah,
need
well,
they
what?
Need they need to have the title on TV. They need to have it on the pay per view.
He's got enough dates where he can be on every pay per view and at least one TV up to the pay per view. And then you got fucking Paul E to fucking do all the talking, or like I say, film multiple interviews and just play those throughout the week. It's not that hard to do. They can do it.
Did I say he wasn't going to be on any other pay-per-views?
Oh,
oh
this
is
me. You're fucking wrong. God damn, you and Craig agree.
What's wrong about what? I'm sorry. I think they need the champion on TV.
Well, I think you're wrong. If they follow my advice, they're going to make some money this year going into WrestleMania.
I think if you just have him like main event the pay-per-views and stuff, then, hey, that's fine because, you know, you got your champion out there once a month, but anything longer than that and you don't have your champion out there, that's just stupid to me.
The champion wasn't even used to always be on TV. How often did you see Ric Flair back in the day? He'd be on Georgia TV maybe once a month.
Hey,
and
you
never see him defend this title. They were doing pretty good back then.
30 fucking years. They didn't have pay-per-views every month that they were trying to push.
Yeah, they were pushing the fucking house shows. They had to push it every fucking week. And the house shows did pretty good because they weren't seeing Ric Flair defend his title every fucking Saturday night or seeing him on every Saturday night.
There's quite the
difference
from wrestling from 30 years ago and wrestling today on TV. I don't know if you've noticed.
I can't believe how bad you're getting your ass kicked in this debate tonight.
We'll keep going now. I mean, what's the problem with what I said?
Just because you're being narrow-minded and you don't want to take a chance on something actually working, which it actually could.
I'm not being narrow-minded. I just think you need to have the fucking champion on your TV shows. That's what I'm saying.
You don't need the championship don't mean nothing now. Well, take it off TV, it might actually fucking mean something, dude.
You got to have something on there to get people to watch, though. What are you going to do? That's one of the main things
you
can
have fucking John Cena. You can fucking do whatever you fucking want. They can fucking... Stone Cold was fucking champion, and he didn't fucking wrestle for fucking months at a time. You know what I mean? They
didn't
do it. It don't fucking work.
He wrestled on every fucking pay-per-view.
Just admit you lost, and we can just talk about this actual match instead of...
Well, no, let's go back to the Stone Cold didn't wrestle for months at a time. He wrestled every pay-per-view. That's not months at a time. So, explain that one.
Well, whatever, dude. Just give it up, man. Just give
it up. Why would you say that if you don't understand what you're saying?
Because there were times where he was hurt and fucking didn't fucking wrestle for fucking weeks at a time.
He wrestled every pay-per-view.
Not all the time.
When he was a champion, he wrestled every pay-per-view.
Well, I don't have the fucking stats to go back and fucking look at it month by month when he was a fucking champion. But
when
there
he
were
was
times
champion,
when
he wrestled
they on TV. There were times when The Rock went and made a fucking movie and wasn't on TV for periods of time. And came back
and
didn't fucking
either.
Doesn't fucking matter, dude. The champion's still there. You'll have Paul Lee come out with the title, and there's the fucking champion.
The champion is still there, but the champion's not going to be there.
Yeah, it don't matter, because you're going to have fucking Paul Lee doing all the talking anyway.
Never mind.
Okay, with all of that said, I heard that the plan was going to be that Brock was going to eventually win the title, and Roman was going to chase until WrestleMania 31 and then beat Brock in San Francisco.
Apparently it'd be a long chase because Brock won't be on TV.
That's what I heard, man. I don't know how they were going to do it, but hopefully they're smarter than we are.
Be exciting seeing this Seth Rollins raise his big briefcase out every week, and there's no chance of him doing anything with it. What excitement we have for the months coming up. No
yeah, I don't
chance.
Think Seth Rollins would want to catch the briefcase if Brock's a champion anyway.
Why not?
Because he'd get his ass kicked, that's why.
He's excited.
But anyway, can we talk about this
title
match?
I can see it now.
Can we talk about this?
That'd be so exciting.
Can we talk about this world title match that's on right now?
Oh, yeah, because it's probably the last one. So, yes, let's talk about this.
Yeah. I think Cena's going to win.
Yeah. Thank you, Captain Obvious.
Yeah. And
yeah,
I'm sure they're gonna make Roman look great, and then he'll just, you know, fucking step on a banana peel or something at the end. But, you know.
Well, they'll beat one of the other guys. There's no point in beating Roman Reigns when you got Kane in the match. You know. So.
Yeah. Good old Kane.
And it'll probably be a good match. I'm not saying it won't.
Yeah, it will be.
They got decent guys.
Well, Cena always has good matches when he has to. And I'm pretty sure they're going to protect Roman to where he's just fucking looking awesome when he is in control. And Randy's good. Kane is decent. I mean, he's not as bad as people think he is. He's just been around forever. But he knows what he's fucking doing, so. It'll be a decent match. I'd be surprised if it's better than the other three matches that have a chance to be match of the night, but I don't think it'll be far behind.
They've really been keeping Roman Reigns strong because he's like ends every show with a spear, even after he's been beat down. You notice that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're totally behind him, man.
Yeah. And I think some people seem to have a problem with him getting this big push. I mean, dude's fucking over. He's got, like, a bunch of moves that people that people go crazy for. He's got charisma about him. He's okay on the mic. I mean, I don't understand what some people's problem with him is with the guy.
Well, those people are going to have a problem with whoever is the one that's getting the push. Just because
he didn't spend 5 years in Ring of Honor or something, so he's going to wrestle
fight. They're going to resent who the company wants to push because they want to fucking have their own person that they want pushed, and they're just going to hate on it. There's just that fucking, that's just a part of wrestling fans.
And him getting a push.
They're fucking haters.
How about this guy that he never worked Dragon's Gate. How dare he get a push, you know?
Yeah, that's how some people are. That's how some people are, believe it or not.
This has been on top the last 2-3 years. And Daniel Bryan and CM Punk, I mean, I don't want to hear any of this stuff about some guy being, you know, like, passed over. He's got a great character. He's working for him. People love him. I mean, he's got everything you want, and if you've got a baby face, pretty much. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I need to do this to you guys, but my mom's been blowing up my phone. And it sounds like she's panicking because, anyway, I'm going to go ahead and
you
step
be left alone with Ed?
What's that?
Can I be left alone with Ed?
Well, it's not that. I need to
no, I'm just kidding.
Figure out.
I'm just kidding. No, I understand.
Yeah. So, I'm sorry. Let me step out for the next half hour. So, if you guys wouldn't mind finishing the show, I'd appreciate it.
No problem.
Okay.
Cool. And behave and don't argue and get along, for God's sake.
Okay. That's cool.
All right, see you guys.
Now, another thing about this whole pay-per-view title match in Brock Lesnar. No, never mind. I'm just kidding.
All right, well, I'm looking at at the other stuff you sent for the Great American Bash.
Uh-huh.
DVD? Okay. It says exclusive commentary provided by Dusty Rhodes and Larry Zbyszko, so I'm assuming this is like brand new stuff with Larry Zbyszko that he did for the WWE.
Yeah, they were not a commentary team in 1988.
Yeah. Well, it's just like, I never heard of that. I mean, obviously they must have filmed this a while ago because, you know, the DVDs don't just come out like that. So, I mean, I just, first I've ever heard of it.
Yeah, I get to my email. This was just, it had to have been recently. I can't remember the last time I even heard about Larry Zbyszko and being with WWE. I guess he's down in NXT doing stuff, huh? Is that what he's been doing?
I haven't even heard anything about that. I mean, I know he's in Florida, but I hadn't heard anything about him being WWE at all.
Maybe the only thing of, I think I saw him. He was at like Bruno's induction ceremony to Hall of Fame. I think I saw him there. And but as far as doing stuff, but I think he's been doing some, you know, like kind of like doing like some guest training stuff in NXT at the Performance Center. So since he's right down there, so
maybe. But yeah, I was kind of surprised seeing that. But
well, that should be interesting.
That was always like a fucking perfect name for a fucking like wrestling show because you know you join into cheesy fucking patriotism and you know. That's always worked. I mean, just as Hacksaw Jim Duggan and Sergeant Slaughter, you know. And then wasn't there like a thing where like it wasn't just like a one show where like before it was like the pay per views, it was like the whole like they're going to have 30 shows in 30 days or some shit like that.
Yeah, like the big hook was like I think it was in 86 where they it was like in 14 straight shows, or maybe I'm not 14, maybe 20, 25 straight shows in 25 straight days, and on every one, Ric Flair had to defend his title every night or something like that.
Who did he lose it to? Was this where he lost to Dusty or to Garvin? Because he lost it for like
he lost it to Dusty in Greensboro at the Great American Bash.
Did he win it back at a Great American Bash, or did Dusty at least finish out the Great American Bash with the title?
He finished out with the title, and then he lost it like 2 weeks later. And I think it was Kansas City, or maybe no, it was St. Louis. St. Louis, and he lost the title.
Okay, yeah, I remember they had, you know, they had fucking like so many shows. It's like, goddamn, they're fucking wrestling a lot. And then isn't that also one of the Great American Bash? Was that also one of the shows where fucking Wahoo fucking fucked it up and got the blade stuck in his forehead?
Yeah, they were in Philadelphia, and he was doing, like, strap matches, like, the whole month. Like, at every show, he was doing strap matches with Jimmy Garvin, which had to have been a pleasure for Jimmy Garvin to be doing, you know, 30 strap matches in, like, 30 days. But and he gigged himself with a blade. He got stuck in his forehead. And, like, the commission went, like, nuts and banned the blade or something, which is funny when you look later on at ECW and stuff.
Yeah,
obviously
well,
it was something not really
important. It was actually a big thing because at that point the NWA was actually outdrawing WWE in Philadelphia, and then they couldn't do blood anymore, and that kind of just fucking fucked it up because that was a big difference.
Yeah, that's what those fans were, you know, is the main place when you think of people screaming, we want blood," you know, and I'm just thinking that. You got your blade stuck in your forehead. You know, that takes something. You must have been going deep, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe you fell down and took a bump while you were trying to do it.
And then just to have it in between your skin while you're still doing a match and getting hit in the head.
Yeah, I was always amazed.
Zigzagging in there and shit.
That's some of the places that they hit them. Like, some people would just wrestle with a blade in their mouth.
I couldn't do that. I'd be scared to death.
I think they would just like wrap it up with something, and I'd fucking swallow the damn thing. You know?
Yeah, that's what I'd be worried about.
Next time I would just had like tape to their finger. Well, that didn't work out great for Kerry Von Erich that one time. He tried scratching himself. And, was...
uh-huh. And then my favorite. Speaking of blade, I've brought it up a couple of times, but on that. Who fucking videotaped it? Is it Jimmy Garvin videotape or?
Backstage at the
back. They're taping backstage, and Jesus Christ, you got fucking Dr. Death is fucking so cooked out of his mind. I thought he was gonna OD and die right there. Sting wasn't fucking far behind, and the Road Warriors were fucking. You can tell they're all fucking wired out of their fucking mind, too. And you got
only person who looked normal was, like, Bobby Eaton or somebody.
Yeah. Yeah, like somebody like that. One of the normal ones like ran away from the camera, but they show the fucking Road Warriors. They're all fucked up, and they're making their blades, and like they're talking to him. What are you doing? He's all, we're gonna get some color, and you know he's all like putting in, you know, just making it, and he's all, and then fucking Hawk looks at him. And he's all, Jimmy, what's this for? And he's like, oh, I'm making it for Meltzer. We're gonna sell it to the Marks and make some money. And as soon as he says Meltzer, fucking Huck's eyes just open up really big, like, what the fuck, you asshole? It was fucking hilarious. But, yeah, if people don't know what we're talking about, try and find it on YouTube. It's fucking just behind-the-stage footage of the Great American Bash. And like I say, it is something else.
I can't
believe Dr. Death lasted as long as he did, because, goddamn, that dude was fucking... I've never seen a person wired in my life.
It looked like a lot tamer version of what Max Payne was probably going to put out like all those years ago when he taped all that stuff behind the scenes at WWF. And you got like fucking Louis Spicoli like wandering the aisles in the hotel and his drawers, and they don't know what room it is.
Well, see, these guys were the opposite, because on the Max Payne, they're all on painkillers and all fucking out of it and just zombies. On this one, it was the opposite, because they weren't doing downers. They were doing fucking uppers, because these motherfuckers were some hyped up fucking Mojo Riley ain't got shit on Dr. Death on his video.
I think when people use drugs for the good reasons, to get high, and not to just fucking take a bunch of pills,
damn,
just, like, turn into a big, like, fat puddle of Jell-O or something, like in your hotel room or in the hallway somewhere, or fall asleep in your soup. The cafeteria.
Yeah. I know one thing, though. I would be scared to even have been in the same room with Dr. Death the way he was. You know, he could kill you if he wanted to. You know what I mean?
Just Dr. Death and Hulk together on cocaine. That's a recipe for disaster right there.
Fuck yeah.
Keep those two away from me. Luger's only one that looked like he had any sense back there. If that tells you anything.
Who?
Luger.
Oh, yeah.
He's in the background looking at these weirdos that are on drugs.
I saw somebody, I'm pretty sure it was bullshit, but, you know, somebody was, like, posting, like, Luger died or something the other day.
Oh, God. He kind of looks it, but he's still alive.
Yeah, he didn't look... You don't look in good shape at all.
Considering the way that guy used to look, man, he's had it rough. He's had it really rough.
The road has owned him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway. You just want to kind of skim through some of these matches and just kind of, like, talk about them?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Now, the first Great American Bash was just it was one show. I think they drew like 30,000 people to all that stadium, and the main event was Ric Flair versus Nikita Koloff. You remember this came up when Nikita gave the Russian sickle to David Crockett?
Which actually
kind of turned him babyface.
Yeah, this was fucking Nikita when he was like at his biggest.
Yeah, back when it's horrible to say, I hated when he got off the juice and got off the end. He just didn't look the same.
Yeah.
I mean, I like Nikita Koloff. It's like, I want to see a big, juiced-up Nikita Koloff. It's like when Hulk Hogan, remember when the steroid thing went down and you could tell he lost a lot of weight and he got smaller? And I miss Hulk Hogan on steroids, you know, just like the big guys who was in there with Andre at WrestleMania 3 or King Kong Bundy at WrestleMania 2, and I guess this guy looks like he was in an accident or something, lost a lot of weight. Ric Flair came to his entrance. He was in a helicopter. Remember a helicopter landing on the field? He came out of a helicopter.
Pretty cool.
And you talk about heat for this match. I mean, those people there's literally like a fan hit the ring at the end of the match and waist locked and Nikita Koloff tried to take him down. They still beat on Flair. I mean, this is back when people did stuff like that.
I was always, like, going into it, I didn't know who the people were going to cheer because, you know, Flair was just fucking, everyone hated Flair, and then, of course, Nikita's fucking the Russian, and that was, like, fucking, I wasn't sure who the fucking fans were going to go for.
It was funny at this time because, like, he was a heel on the Georgia TV, you know, like, on the TBS show, you know, they were doing that little feud with him and Magnum, and when he ripped up the suit, they had, like, a 10-minute match. But on the it was kind of like he was doing a tweener deal because when he was doing the shows, like you know the worldwide wrestling shows in the Mid Atlantic area, you know the arena show that they used to do all the time, he was like a babyface, and he was like doing little programs with like Buddy Landell or somebody like that, or you know Wahoo was a heel at the time before that, and he was doing a little feud with him there, so he was kind of like a tweener. He was a good guy in one place and a bad guy in the other. So, but then Nikita took David Crockett, and it was a big story. You know, Flair and Crockett were in that helicopter or that plane crash together. So they were like good friends, and so Flair came out and take Nikita Koloff. This was a good match. Ric Flair, I mean, guys like Nikita Koloff, Luger, the Road Warriors, the best. This was, like, the best area for them to be working because they had all the best heels that could, like, they could, like, carry them to a good match. You know, like, either, like, Flair and the Horsemen or either they're working with, like, the Midnight Express, just the best heels for guys like that to work with at the time.
All these matches had one thing in common. There was about fucking five or six fucking body presses off the top rope fucking slamming Flair down.
He has to take in more press slams than any man in history, right?
And then they would also do the thing where Flair would be chopping them, and then they'd all stop no-selling the chops.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was like the same formula, but it worked with all of them.
Mm-hmm. Hey, this was a good match. A lot of people didn't like Nikita Koloff, and they said he was horrible. I never noticed that he was really all that bad. But maybe it's just because he was always working with good people. So,
Yeah, Ivan to fucking carry everything when they were the tag teams. And, I mean, he wasn't supposed to be a technical master. He was the Russian Road Warrior, you know what I mean?
Yeah, he was just...
be a big, clunky fucking bruiser, you know what I mean? It wouldn't have worked if he was all fucking moving around like Dean Malenko.
I mean, he literally came off of his couch to take this role. He never thought about being a, I don't think he ever thought about being a wrestler. And I think they were looking for somebody, and I can't remember who it was, but so Nikita was, I don't know, he's at home on the couch asleep, and somebody called him and said, "Get your ass up, you're gonna become Nikita Koloff," or something like that. You know, he didn't even have an idea of becoming a wrestler, and this was like his first role. You know, Crockett told him with,
"Well, then
he's in the ring."
Monster Factory.
No.
Oh, okay.
You may be thinking of Bam Bam Bigelow or somebody like that.
Well, you know, there's that whole group of people from that same area.
Yeah, well, he was from Minnesota though. He was doing them. He wasn't from like up in the Northeast where the Monster Factory was at.
Okay.
He was one of those Minnesota guys, like Animal or Norton and. Like Crusher Khrushchev, all those guys.
Yeah, that's okay. I guess I'm thinking the wrong school, but
you're thinking Eddie Sharkey, I think.
Yeah, okay, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah,
because he trained Khrushchev and the Road Warriors and Rick Rude, and I think Dakota. I thought Nikita a little bit of them.
I think did maybe even maybe Tom Zink. I know Tom Zink was there at the time. Nor the Barbarian, you know.
Yeah,
the whole. Oh, mess of guys. And I think Crockett told Nikita, he said, just one thing. If you trip getting into the ring, then you're fired. So all he had to do was get in the ring and basically just like, stand there. And all he had to do was hit one Russian sickle, and then it was it. He was actually one of the best guys up the field.
They built him up with a maggot. And plus the upper maggot helped build him up, too. And then, like, they had fucking... Like I say, they had fucking Koloff and Court, what's his name? Coryell?
Who?
Donald Coryell. Like, you know, they basically carried the matches at first. Dunker Noodle.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they ended up turning on Dunker Noodle. But, you know, he had them working with him. They were doing all the work. And then, you know, Crusher Khrushchev wasn't great or anything, but at least he was fucking solid. So, basically, you had Ivan do the majority of the work. Then you had Crusher. And then you had fucking Nikita fucking do the sickle. That was basically it.
Yeah. Basically, he was just there to watch and watch everybody else and learn, you know, every
yeah.
night.
I
was just going to go to the next match. You got anything else to say?
No, I was just going to say, you know, Nikita, I mean, Ivan's a, you know, he was, you know, most people know the old Ivan from the last few years, but I mean, there's not many people that got to beat Bruno Sammartino, you know what I mean?
It's like people only know the old Iron, the recent Iron Sheik. They don't know the real good old one.
Yeah, exactly.
Next, they had went in 1986, and they had Rock and Roll Express against Arn and Ole Anderson in a number one contenders match. These teams had good matches. Of course, after seeing an Ole Anderson match, you're probably well versed in how to put on an arm lock. I guess I'll say.
Yeah, because they'd be slamming the arm behind the back on the body slams. I mean,
it was
good.
Yeah. I mean, Arn would hold the arm out and he'd do like a knee from the top rope or something. And
yeah.
He cranked.
I mean,
it didn't take long
for it to the roles to change, but at this point Ole was the better fucking of the two.
Yeah, I guess that's fair.
He got old pretty quick, and it didn't last like maybe a year and a half, Arn ended up passing him up. But when they first started, Ole was the fucking mouthpiece. Ole was the fucking bruiser in the ring. You know, Arn gradually got better and better as Ole got older. But, you know, at this point, Ole was the team for the most part. And, you know, he was a big bruiser who just beat the shit out of the Rock and Roll, beat the shit out of Ricky Morton, you know, and those matches were always badass.
And Ricky Morton, he looked like he's like a 12-year-old crying when he put the arm lock on him.
Yeah.
And I think this was actually a time limit draw. So next they had this was the match we were talking about earlier. Steel Cage match Flair against Dusty, where Dusty won the championship. Some commentary provided by Dusty Rhodes only, so. He must have booted Larry Zbyszko so he could get his own world title victory over.
Right. You know, he's got all his the Bull of the Woods and fucking all his other fucking catchphrases are fucking there, I bet.
Maybe you don't want nobody asking why he put the belt on himself. I don't know.
Probably.
The next one is like July 4th, 1987, the first ever War Games match with Road Warriors. Dusty Rhodes, Nikita Koloff, and Paul Ellering against the Four Horsemen and J.J. Dillon. This match was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, you really can't have... Well, I think there was, like, one bad World Games match, but for the most part, you know, you can't really have... And then you got the fucking... All the Four Horsemen. I mean, you got, like, a Flair, Anderson, Tilly. You know, I mean, they're all awesome. Dusty's awesome. You know, you got three bruisers that fucking have the fucking Horsemen bump around for. You know, Ellering and J.J. Dillon were actually decent wrestlers back in the day. You know, so then I think they both got hurt in this match, didn't they? Like, didn't they slowly take them off?
Yeah, J.J. got hurt. Yeah, I think he ripped his shoulder out. He got his shoulder ripped out of socket or something like that. Yeah. Kind of gave away what was going to happen at the end when you include the managers in this match.
Yeah.
Because wasn't none of those regular wrestlers submitting, so... It was pretty easy to see. You know, they never could win that coin toss, could they? Damn it.
I know. Unlike a TNA when they always won.
We're seeing that where the babyfaces won the fucking coin toss for the War Games. Jesus Christ. This was the first War Games. I put that up there with the Royal Rumble as far as gaming matches.
That's one of the best ones. It's too bad Vince doesn't like the idea of it. You know, they could have had some awesome ones, you know, throughout, you know.
I think Vince thinks two rings probably look ugly next to one another.
Yeah. And I wish a couple of the Shine eye pay-per-views ago, they had they couldn't do it because they do their shows at this fucking little bar, but they actually had like a War Games type match, and it would have been awesome to have seen it in like a double cage, but, you know, unfortunately it was just the one ring because it's in like a little bar. But I was actually watching, I'm like, man, this would be so much awesome if it were a cage.
Yeah, I mean, imagine they did that today and had like, I don't know, Team Cena against the Authority or something on pay-per-view. That'd be a big draw, I think.
Yeah. Well, like a year ago, they could have done the Shield and the Wyatts against, you know, the all the top baby faces. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Next, we had this event. I think this is actually a mistake. The next match is says Sting and Lex Luger against the Road Warrior in Charlotte, North Carolina, in July of 1988, but doesn't have the exact date. I'm pretty sure this is a match from like October or November of that year because they never. Road Warriors and Sting and Luger were all baby faces in the summer of 88, so it's like they couldn't have possibly faced each other. Somebody, the way we come up with this, made a pretty big error here.
Yeah, well, whoever put it together probably never even seen these matches.
Another reason I should be given this job of writing all these scripts for these DVDs.
Right? I like to. I wish I could get paid just to kill shit on YouTube. Any fucking 20 bucks an hour, I'll fucking do that fucking 8 hours a day. But
just
to
sit there
honestly,
and type like all sorts of WWE stuff into the search engine and find videos that get taken down?
Yeah. Like, I don't even really remember this match that clearly, to be honest with you. It's like I can't remember.
It was a house match in like October, November of 88 after the Road Warriors turned heel.
Okay.
It was just like a half show match. And they never had it tells you something because they don't have an exact date here. This is July 88. It doesn't have a specific date. So
yeah,
somebody screwed up big time on this one. They should feel stupid. It's probably a good match though. So, you know.
Yeah.
Next match was Sting against Great Muta in Baltimore, Maryland, July 23rd, 1989. This was a good match. I remember it.
That was an awesome fucking match. It was fucking... And
yep.
Muta won, right? Didn't he? The Mist, and he won?
Well, they had the title up because he did like a double pin.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
So, yeah.
This is a great show.
Oh, yeah. This is like considered one of the best show pay-per-views of all time. He had this and... You had Flair and Funk on top of Flair coming back from his injury.
Steamboat and Luger in an awesome,
which I actually thought maybe was the best match on the show, was Steamboat and Luger.
It was good. I wouldn't put that far. But you also had an awesome War Games match.
Yeah. You did have an awesome War Games match.
That match should be on here. Shit. Because that was awesome. I remember Dr. Death fucking pressed Diamond Gordy on the top of the cage.
Yeah, I remember this thing in Muta match because they had an awesome opening spot because he had the two rings there for the War Games, and Muta's he's in the second ring, kind of biding his time until, you know, Sting makes his entrance and Sting's waiting for him to come into the other ring so they can start the match, and so Sting just does like a big dive over from one ring to the next one and to kind of start the match off hot. It was pretty good.
Yeah, it was awesome. And then the Flair Funk match was fucking awesome just because of the fucking Terry Funk trying to murder Ric Flair on fucking national TV fucking with the fucking plastic bag, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, up until that point, that was like the most what the fuck am I watching thing I've ever seen in wrestling.
The first thing he did was, you remember he did the thing in Nashville where he piled drove him on the table after he won the title from Steamboat? And, actually the plastic bag thing is like, I think it's like a couple of months after this Flair Terry Funk match at a Clash of the Champions or something. And he put the bag over his head. Yeah, they had to go on TV and apologize for that.
Yeah, that was crazy.
that time.
That was I mean, Terry Funk being all crazy and fucking trying to tape a paper bag. And at that point, you know, I was young, and I remember every time my mom would go shopping or come back with plastic bags, she'd always say, "Don't fucking put this over your head." So it was like, to me, it was like, oh, my God, I literally thought he was trying to kill him for real.
I mean, there's no mistaking what you're trying to do when you put a bag over somebody's head like that.
Yeah.
You're not trying to cause injury. You're trying to cause death. I mean, there's only one way to go when you lose all your oxygen is, you know, anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, this was an awesome match. It had like one of the best brawls at the end of it when Sting and Muta got involved and they brawled all over the building. It was like something out of Memphis. Yeah, this was also pretty cool. It was really the first time I got to see Flair as a babyface.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, for the most part.
He'd been a heel for so long before that. And so it was cool seeing him being able to go out there and you know, wanting to cheer for the guy against Funk. So that was pretty awesome. And actually, that's where, like, in our theme song, that's where it's the post-match promo, which says, "I'm going to dog your Texas ass out."
Yeah.
You know, that's where I got this. I got that from the soundbite for our theme song. So,
yeah,
that was pretty cool. Next, we had a NWA World Title match, Ric Flair versus Sting in Baltimore, July 7th, 1990. Yeah, this is where Sting came back from his knee injury and won the title.
Yeah, it was okay. I mean, to me, their best match will always be that fucking 45-minute draw.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he was supposed to win it a lot sooner, but then, you know, he had a fucking knee up on the cage like a dumbass.
I think they blamed that on Doug Dillinger trying to pull him down. And he pulled on his leg, and his leg got caught in like wedged into they were doing a steel cage match.
Yeah.
Kind of leg got caught in the cage. Yeah, that was bad timing.
Yep. Oh, shit.
The next match was on the same show with Steiner Brothers versus Freebirds, and I have no idea why you would put this match on here instead of, like, the Southern Boys against the Midnight Express, which is, like...
Because you get Michael Hayes on there to fucking do something.
Yeah, that's right.
Because, yeah, that other match was a lot better. But okay, I'm guessing this is after Terry left, and it's basically just Michael and Jimmy Garvin, right?
Yeah, it's Michael and Jimmy Garvin. Where they're doing like they were the greatest rock and roll band of all time.
Yeah.
Remember when they were doing that gimmick?
Okay, now did they have DDP with them? Did they have Big Daddy Dink with them? Did they have Little Richard Marley with them? Did they have...
They didn't have anybody with them at this point. They didn't have anybody.
What's in Fantasia? Did they have Bad Street?
They had nobody with them.
Yeah, well, I don't even... It's almost hard to remember them without anybody, you know.
it was right before, this was like right before Little Richard Marley came in. Little Richard Marley, that's the funny one.
Fucking poor Rocky King. I used to love watching Rocky King. One of my favorite jobbers of all time.
Well, I can see they skipped the Great American Bash 1991 on my list here. And I think we know why.
What was on that one? Which one?
Right after Flair left the company. You remember?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
They had the awful Great American Bash with, like, the scaffold match where you had to capture the flag.
Oh, dude, they should have put that out. That's a travesty that's done on the DVD.
Who decided
to put P&U in that
scaffold
match? Was it P&U the Stone Cold?
It was P and News and Bobby Eaton against Terry Taylor and Steve Austin. So you got a 400-pound man on the scaffold, and you got three people with knee problems. I don't understand. And then you decided you could just have them do a capture the flag. That's God.
I'm gonna not buy the DVD and protest of that match not being on the DVD.
Dusty must have been on cocaine or something at this point, booking that shit. I don't know. Anyway, let's get to 92. This is when they were bringing the NWA tag team titles back. They had the big tournament. And with the match listed here is Dustin Rhodes and Barry Windham against Steve Austin and Rick Rude, which actually sounds like a hell of a match.
Yeah, it was awesome. I remember Dustin and Barry were a fucking awesome tag team.
Yeah.
Because they beat Dr. Death and Terry Gordy, didn't they, after they had beat the Steiners?
Yeah. Yeah, they beat Dr. Death and Terry Gordy. And, of course, then they were so great as a team, they, of course, broke them up and had them feud with one another.
Yeah.
But, yeah, one of my favorite tag teams of all time. I enjoyed watching those guys in there.
Yeah, they were a perfect tag team.
Yeah, and Steve Austin and Rick Rude at the time were awesome. So
yeah.
That whole tournament I remember being awesome. They had some great matches. They had I remember they had Pillman and Liger against Chris Benoit and Beef Wellington.
Yeah.
On one of the shows, they had Doc and Gordy against the Steiner brothers. Dustin Rhodes and Barry Windham against Hase and Hashimoto. Pillman and Liger against Nikita Koloff and Ricky Steamboat. Steamboat and Nikita against Terry Gordy and Steve Williams. So they had a bunch of good matchups in this tournament.
Yeah, it was pretty good. It was awesome. That was a good period, actually. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. And they had a world title match, Sting versus Vader. This match was awesome. It was one of the best matches they had. Maybe the best match that they had together. They were great together.
Was there a gimmick on this one? Because there's so many, it takes me. I gotta snap the.
No, it was just a straight up fight. It was just a straight up title match.
It wasn't the White Castle of Fear.
No, it didn't involve miniature hamburgers.
Yeah, no, they had some awesome matches. Vader had awesome matches with Sting and awesome matches with Cactus Jack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. He was awesome back then.
This was the time when Watts was there. You remember when he came into the company and took over running stuff.
Half the shit he did was good, and half the shit he did was stupid. Like the stupid over the top rope thing was stupid. But then you get shit like Dustin Rhodes and Barry Windham against fucking Dr. Death and Terry Gordy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And this was the point because you could tell he was things were changing because you had baby faces doing clean jobs and main event. This was Sting did a clean job right here for Vader. For the world title. I mean.
Yeah.
I remember the end of the match. He was trying to splash it, do the Stinger splash on him, but Vader was facing the turnbuckle and he kind of slid over Vader. And the gimmick was he hit his head on the metal piece between the ring post and the turnbuckle and cut himself open. And then he got powerbombed and pinned. But they were doing almost all clean finishes on, all these shows back then, which I liked. So.
Yeah. Man, I'm kind of scrolling down, and you have all these awesome matches on this one and two, and goddamn, there's a tight turn on this three. I mean, there's some good matches on here, but, I mean, for the most part, it's you got Demon Link with Chris Jericho, and you got fucking Eddie against Chavo, and you got Psychosis against Ultimo Dragon, but then you got fucking some shit after that. And Jared against Kevin Nash.
Well, it just means it's not going to take us long to get through it all. So,
yeah.
They had Randy, in 95, they had Savage against Flair. Remember when Ric Flair put the figure four on Angelo Poffo? And they started that
team?
Yeah, that was this match. And I think actually Ric Flair stood up for himself and said that he was the one that was going over. Savage wasn't going to beat him. So,
wow.
I remember they had the Outsiders show up at the Great American Bash in June of 96. You remember when he powerbombed Bischoff off of the table, off the stage?
Yeah. That was actually pretty cool.
Yeah. And I do know why this match is. I was going to say, why did I not have the Chris Benoit Kevin Sullivan match on here? And then I just, it came to my senses.
Yeah, that was an awesome match, though.
They should have put, you know what match they should have put on here? But they should have put on here, and I'm scrolling down just to make, wait, never mind. On a Blu-ray exclusive on this set.
I tell you, there's a lady in the man's bathroom. Look at that. There is a woman in the man's gun right here in Baltimore.
The only time you can think of Chris Benoit and laugh nowadays, right? I was going to say that on the Blu-ray edition disc, they have a – well, it was actually a hell of a match with Kevin Green and Steve McMichael against Ric Flair and Arn Anderson.
Yeah, that was actually pretty good.
Because I thought it was like an all – Steve McMichael turned heel and went with the Horseman. I thought this was an awesome heel turn.
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty good. Kevin Green was actually pretty fucking good.
Yeah, he was a good wrestler. He wrestled like the he had a match with the Giant on like Bash at the Beach in 1998. That was pretty good. I was just worried about this match because it was the celebrities against the wrestlers, and the wrestlers always lose. And I don't want to see Ric Flair and Arn Anderson lose to football players. It just don't seem right.
Yeah. They were men. It was funny because you see fucking like Arn just manhandling big ass Kevin Green and Steve McMichael to put him in place to, you know, you know what I mean? They were basically just moving him around.
Yeah.
And stuff. We'll wrap up with what probably be one of my favorite matches on here. That'd be the fucking 6-man cage match with Dusty Rhodes, Magnum T.A. and Baby Doll against the Midnight Express and Jim Cornette.
Yeah, this was like a couple of months before. Mm-hmm. Cornette had ran the end of his tennis racket into Baby Doll's stomach, and they worried she couldn't have kids. This got a lot of this was some good stuff. They got a lot of heat.
They were Baby Doll. This was awesome. Period. Midnight Express were awesome. Magnum, fucking Dusty were awesome. Fucking Jim Cornette, fucking one of the best managers ever. Baby Doll. Even though she was a big girl, she was fucking hot as shit at this time.
Yeah, I think about her today, and it's like, looking back at her now, it's like watching retro porn. You know? You just, like, go to a search engine, type in retro porn, and all this shit from the 80s pops up. That's the kind of look she had back then.
Yeah, like, some of her hairstyles, and then she always had, like, leather pants on or leopard print fucking tight ass fucking. She looked hot. She looked like she could be in a video with like Ginger Lynn and Christy Canyon and some of those chicks.
Not that I regularly go on the internet and look up retro porn. It's just something somebody told me. So.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway.
Well, we got like a minute left. Let me throw off the flag here. Everyone, check out AngryMarks.com. You can always download the stream our show at AngryMarks.com along with a lot of other shows. You can download the stream our shows at blogtalkradio.com/Cotrera and older shows at blogtalkradio.com/Edward-Laredo. You can follow me at Facebook at Edward Laredo, and you can follow me at Twitter at Ed in San Antonio.
You can follow me at Cotrera35 on Twitter. I don't tweet, so it's pretty much useless to try to tweet me. I would, if you want to follow me, though, that'd be fine. I'm trying to get the least followers of anybody on Twitter, so that's my goal. You go to youtube.com/Cotrera. I got a whole bunch of playlists of classic wrestling stuff up there. I haven't been up there in ages, so. And I figure my Memphis collection is probably gonna be taken down when Lawler sells the Libraries events coming up soon.
Right? I should contact the WWE and say, I found this website and I'm going to get it all reported and have you just totally taken down, and maybe they'll hire me and pay me to fucking zap shit on YouTube.
Well, I would feel worse if I was the worst person, if I was the person that actually uploaded all this stuff. Because I don't see no point in uploading stuff when people are just going to take it down. It's like a waste of my time. So. That's why I don't do that.
Yeah.
I don't want to waste my time putting up like a big collection of videos together and just one person with the flip of the switch or something and just take it down.
Speaking,
and,
of, Speaking of shit like that, okay, you know, I went to, you know, Vegas, and when I was at the UFC show, I recorded two videos.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now there's the famous promo video, UFC promo video. They show, but they don't always show because sometimes the pre-shows go long. But if the pre-show matches, there's like time. They show this video before, right before the pay-per-view starts to get the crowd hyped, and it's Teenage Wasteland, the name of the song, and it's this awesome video. And there's no good copies. It's been a while since I searched, but like no one ever had like a good copy of this. And I fucking videotaped it. There's a big screen or the thing. And it actually came out badass. And I put it on Facebook and it's still on there. No problems. And I also recorded Ronda Rousey's entrance, like as soon as her music hits and her walking into the ring and even the intros. And then I stopped it. If only I would have recorded 16 more seconds, I would have got the whole fight. But I started to download that on Facebook. And, you know, it takes forever to download shit on videos on Facebook like that, straight from your, like, phone or whatever. So it took forever. And then it tells me that it's ready. So I hit the thing saying, okay, you can put it on my wall or whatever. And then within minutes, I get the fucking, not even within minutes, like not even a minute, I get the fucking Facebook zapped it right away and told me that it was copyrighted material. And I had put, like, Ronda Rousey's UFC interest, so I was thinking, okay, maybe they just keyworded or something, you know what I mean? So then I tried it again, and I put, she comes out to, I don't give a damn about my bad reputation, so I put, she don't give a damn about her bad reputation, downloaded it the whole time, they gave me the thing that it was ready, hit it, spent a minute, fucking they zapped it again.
Huh. Yeah. I was reading. I think on the board or something, somebody brought up the other day, but on YouTube, how they deal with that is like a certain words. Like when you upload something, and like if say I'm going to upload WWF WrestleMania 5. I mean, as soon as I upload it and it has that title, those titles are like keywords that go like right to somebody that it immediately alerts them that it's copyright being infringed on or something like that.
Yeah.
So it's like it's immediately taken down. So.
But like
that's, that's why I never started uploading anything onto YouTube. If it's going to be taken down, I just don't want to waste my time.
Yeah, I got pissed because it took forever to fucking download the things and it was never fucking up. But,
that's
anyway.
Why people put all those goofy titles for certain things they upload, so nobody can find them unless you're told about them, something like that.
Yeah.
It's been up there for a while. Like I'd go to Daily Motion sometimes and watch stuff, and I was watching like they had the AJ Styles interview that our video did up there. Been watching that.
Oh wow.
I'm almost finished with it, so I don't care if they take it down.
Right, why don't you going to get to like the last 2 minutes? And
I heard maybe a couple weeks ago that do you watch any shows on WWN Live?
Yes, I watch the Shine shows on there.
Because they're coming out, I guess, later this year. They're coming out with a Roku channel. So you can watch like all that stuff on like you can just
on
like
TV?
Hook it up to your TV. If you got a Roku box and just watch it like that. I think they also do Dragon's Gate also.
Yeah, they do. They do like Dragon's Gate. They do Evolve. They do Shine. They'll do the Shimmer ones from WrestleMania. There's a whole bunch of different fucking little things.
And also, one main reason I was bringing this up because I enjoy watching these interviews. They got the Kayfabe Commentaries Library on there. On WWE Live, so you can I'll be able to watch that stuff. So
that's cool. Anyway, we'll go ahead and wrap up, and we'll be back next week. And I guess we'll be talking about Battleground and everything that happened with and some other stuff. So everybody, come back next week, and we will talk to everybody then.
I tell you, there's a lady in the man's bedroom. Look at that. There is a woman in the man's gun right here.